Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Two down, two to go. Welcome into our third hour here of Sports Talk. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. If you could roommate with one Saints player, during training camp, who would it be? Zach's pretty picky now, okay, as far as he's quick to tell you why your selection might not be the wisest one, and it's usually for good reason.
I'm just saying why it wouldn't be my selection.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Listen, someone might be like, I want Drew Brees, I'm going to get all my stuff signed. Well, yeah. That's sure as heck not going to be why I'm choosing my roommate during training camp. I'm thinking of the whole experience.
You're thinking functionality while you're in camp.
Absolutely. Yes.
Jerry in Mandeville, before we get back to the offensive line breakdowns from Zach Strief. Go ahead, Jerry. You're on WWL.
Hey, guys. Enjoy listening to your show every day. Got one question and a short comment, and I'll hang up and listen. You had mentioned Ingram was injury-prone in his early career and then became better at not being so injury-wise, I guess. Is that a result of the training of New Orleans Saints helping him with technique and performance to not be as injured, or is it just the individual that is lucky, I guess you would say? And my comment is, you guys, when Deuce and Bobby and you guys together are the most hilarious thing on a radio. I seriously think Saturday Night Live should invite you guys in for a night spot. You guys are funny. I listen to you guys every day on the road, and, I tell you, I crack up so much at the personalities coming out, and I appreciate you, and I'll just hang up and listen to your spots.
Jerry, thanks for the kind words, and we're glad someone appreciates the humor, because sometimes we get told this is sports talk, and you can't talk about anything funny. So we try to entertain and also make you laugh, and hopefully we'll continue to do so. But about the injuries, Mark. All right, on Mark.
I'll be Zach.
You are Zach, yeah. Yes.
I'll play Zach tonight. Mark Ingram in particular, Mark really had one injury. And it was an injury that he had issues with in college, and it was something that had kind of plagued him for a little bit with his toe, and it finally kind of healed. You know, it finally got better. It finally got to a point where he wasn't having constant problems with it. And there is nothing worse than a toe injury. It is the absolute worst. It is brutal. And the problem is you can play with it. It hurts the whole time. And you'll never be half as good as you could be without it.
It sounds so minuscule because as everyday humans, we would be able to be fine walking around with a turf toe, for example, walking around, doing our regular day jobs. But in football, it all starts – I mean, when you're trying to push off, you got a bum toe. Look at Marcus Davenport last year.
So let's say your toe is really hurting, right? Take a thumbtack, right? Tape it to where your big toe goes in your shoe, and then try to run 5 feet, right? It's impossible.
I mean, you make it 5 feet.
You can't remove that toe from the equation, and that's really what happens. With anyone that has an injury, your body naturally is going to try to alter itself to avoid continually hurting that, you know, that location or wherever that injury is, and there's just no way to avoid it with a big toe. And there's been a lot of guys that have had that issue. I mean, Robert Meacham dealt with that for years. You take a look at the list of Hall of Fame offensive linemen that injury has ended careers of is unbelievable. I mean, some of the all-time greats, mm-hmm. Jonathan Ogden, Walter Jones, those guys went from perennial all-pros to out of the league in a year with a toe injury. Just is what it is. It's a tough deal. And that's Mark dealt with that early in his career. And it's not something that has to be on the injury report every week because it hasn't changed. And it's good enough to go, but it doesn't mean that you're not playing at 75 or 80%. And that's not good enough for most players in this league. You go in a game at 80%, you're not going to look great. You're not going to perform to your best. And I think finally Mark got over that. It finally got healed up. It took a couple of years to really get over it. And I think you saw the type of player Mark really was, which, you know, is a Pro Bowl caliber running back.
You teased an offensive lineman out of Florida State, a player that could be in the mix at tackle.
Yeah, so I was really impressed with Derek Kelly. Undrafted free agent out of Florida State. Guy with good size. I just really impressed with his movement skills. He's got long arms. Played all over the board at FSU. Played tackle, center, and guard. Kind of played, you know, kind of everywhere. It's a little bit ironic for me because we spent a fourth-round draft pick last year on Rick Leonard, who was opposite of Derek Kelly on that line. So Derek was playing left tackle, and Rick was playing right, and we drafted drafted Rick pretty high. And then you turn around the next year and you get the guy who's on the other side as an undrafted free agent. And so far, I've been super impressed with him. Absorbs information. Again, one of my favorite thing with offensive linemen is a guy that can accept verbal information and translate it into physical performance. It's what makes Ryan Ramczyk very quickly one of the better offensive linemen in the NFL, is his ability to take a coaching point verbally and turn it into an actual physical change on the next rep. And I think Derek has some of that. I think he's looked really good, obviously still pretty green, and we haven't put pads on, and that's always kind of the let's pump the brakes always, because it does make such a big difference. But I've been really impressed with Derek, and I think Michael Ohl is a guy that is good to have on your roster no matter what. Versatility, played guard and tackle, right and left. So that's another one. You know, the reason it comes up is because Teron has missed time every season that he's played. And so most likely that's a position that you say someone is going to play left tackle this year other than Teron Armstead if you're just playing the odds. And I think ideally you don't kick Andrus out. I think in an ideal world you're able to keep him there. The reality is, you know, our sixth and seventh linemen might end up being guards, and it might make a lot more sense to plug one of them in and let Andrus kick out.
Is there at all possible that Ryan Ramczyk could play left tackle?
I do. I think so. But I think the other reality is I don't know if there's anybody, if the situation's any different at right tackle in terms of someone filling in there. So, you know, if they end up coming through camp and saying, hey, we got a really good answer at right tackle, you know, Ryan can flip. But it's very hard to ask a starter to do that. I think in the long term, possibly, Ryan Ramczyk very well could end up playing left tackle in his career.
Breaking down the Saints roster ahead of training camp, where are the holes? Where are the position battles still to come? We've got the specialist, of course. There's going to be an interesting watch at long snapper, but also going to the defensive side of the ball tomorrow. This is Imperial March just for you.
What's that? I'm joking. I know what this is. I told you I've seen it. I just don't know it.
All right, this is Sports Talk here on WWL. Over to the defensive side of the ball. We'll start on the D-line, Zach, where the Saints are going to have a little, I don't want to say adversity, but I guess that's the right word to start, at least with Sheldon Rankin started on a PUP list, as we kind of talked about a little earlier, and then a one-game suspension of David Onyemata. So there might be a player, a young player in particular, that they might decide to keep to get him through that stretch. And the reason why I would say young is because if it's a veteran, if he's on your roster week one, you're on the hook for his salary for the entire year. So they're looking for perhaps a guy like Shai Tuttle to perhaps make an impact and enough to get by those three or four games that he might be without Sheldon Rankin and David Onyemata.
Yeah, what's really kind of stinks is that the schedule starts so tough. You want to be full strength for it, and you're just not going to be, I don't think Sheldon Rankin is going to be ready to start the season. I don't think there's any anticipation of that. So obviously going to be down Sheldon for a while. And then, like you said, losing David Onyemata for the week one game with his suspension. You look through the group, right? So they brought in some veterans, and I think there is a place for some veterans to find homes on this team. Taylor Stallworth is a guy last year that was able to step in, but again, a nose tackle there. They go out and get Malcolm Brown, really a true nose tackle. I think you could take one of those guys on first and second down or in your base situations and play him at the three technique, but you're losing a pretty substantial amount of pass rush on those downs with those two guys in. You can switch this line around a little bit and nickel and go through and not necessarily have to have a true starting three down, three technique in that first game. Wes Horton is a guy, been with Carolina for a long time, has played down inside in Carolina's scheme on third down. Also, Mario Edwards Jr. is a guy that has versatility to move inside and outside. The other veterans that they brought in, a guy like Sylvester Williams, again, he's a nose tackle. And so, I think that's really your question coming out of camp for week one is, what's your rush group? What's your nickel rush look like? And who is going to, who's going to fill those spots in? And so if you start looking at that, obviously you have Cam Jordan. I think Marcus Davenport certainly has to be in that conversation. If he's not one of the guys in that group, then something has gone horribly awry. And I think there's where this is where you get to a point where you're saying this is going to be an issue early on for the Saints, because I don't think any of those options really light your socks off, and none of them are super exciting. I think you feel much better about saying our rush group is Marcus Davenport, Cam Jordan, David Onyemata, Sheldon Rankins. I think you smile when you hear that. But there's definitely going to have to be somebody emerge out of that group. And, if you just look at production with the guys that they have there, I think Wes Horton is a guy that you expect to see emerge to an extent. And like you said, a big part of that's going to be, is Wes Horton have a place on this roster after David Onyemata and Sheldon Rankins come back? That is a reality of the rule, where if you're active the first week as a vested player, that you're on the hook for that salary for the entire year. Trey Hendrickson is another guy. I think it's a huge year for Trey Hendrickson, probably a make or break year in New Orleans for Trey Hendrickson. A guy who was drafted in the third round.
Year or camp?
I mean, yes. I would probably consider him the same.
Okay.
I think if he doesn't have a good camp, he could very well not end up being here for the year. And so, I think he's a guy that comes into camp, dealt with injuries last season. First season had some flashes, but I think a lack of consistency, didn't get a ton of opportunities. And you come into your third year, and this is the year that it's got to start coming together. And I think this would be a really opportune time for Trey's game to come together because of the lack of, a real interior pass rusher early on. I think you can move Cam Jordan in to play the three technique even next to Marcus Davenport, which is something I think would be really interesting to see. But you need with that somebody that can stretch the offensive line if you're going to move Cam inside. Otherwise, he's going to get double teamed a bunch, and you're wasting your best pass rusher in that scenario. So there's a couple of options there, and I also wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't more movement trying to find somebody to fit that role, whether it be on waivers or whether – as training camp goes on, that there isn't movement within this line.
Terry Fontenot, the pro scouting director, is going to be scouring a lot of defensive linemen, and scouting them throughout the process.
Like they always are, right? I mean, like they always are. But what you hope happens, and again, we have no – this is all just hope. You hope that a Corbin Kaufusi, a Shai Tuttle, a Kenny Bigelow Jr. emerges as a true pass rush threat. Because then they're in-house, they're cheap, they're young, ideal, right? And you want to find that. You look at last year, they find Taylor Stallworth, undrafted out of South Carolina, and really was huge for the Saints down the stretch. Played well all season long, played a great training camp, played really well in training camp, beat out some veterans to grab that spot. But then as the season, as we got later in the season, Taylor Stallworth, really replaced Sheldon Rankins in the lineup for the Rams game. And made a huge impact on that. He played fantastic. He really did, showed up for them. So hopefully that's what you see is one of these other guys, the undrafted free agents that the Saints have in that room, kind of step up. I think Shai Tuttle is a guy, if I'm picking out of the group, I think he has the most physical tools to make that happen. One of these players that I think was willing to do things at Tennessee that were detrimental to his production. That was a defensive line that did not have anybody to play inside. Shai Tuttle's body type doesn't fit that role, and yet that's what he did a lot of. He played inside at the nose a lot. really not as a true nose. He's really not big enough to play that position.
He's right at 300 pounds.
Right. But he's a team player guy and said, yeah, I'll go and do it. And I think it probably affected some of his, you know, production. And so maybe that is a guy that finally gets a chance to kind of, you know, go and eat a little bit on the outside and move into a wide three technique and rush the passer and get up the field. And maybe you find a diamond in the rough there. But that's, again, with defensive line, maybe more than any other position, it is so misleading to watch OTAs, mini camps, and not see them with pads on. Guys can look so much better on the D-line without pads on.
Just something to clarify for the fans. We talked about the vested veteran versus the younger undrafted rookie and in terms of being on the hook for his salary. Look, it allows the Saints to ultimately, if they want to bounce a guy like Shy Tuttle on and off the roster throughout the season if they need to, or the practice squad, what have you. It might not be Shy Tuttle. It could be any one of those younger guys. That allows the front office of the Saints or the coaching staff to make the decision of, all right, we need a roster spot for this week. It's always a younger guy that's not vested that they usually look for that roster spot with. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Carl Granderson, before his run-in with the law, would have been a nice – I think it would have been nice to evaluate him. I think he would have had a chance to give them a pass rush.
Yeah, he's a guy I think you look at. I talk about being able to stretch the offensive line, getting a defensive end that can get a tackle moving backwards to give – if you were going to move Cam Jordan inside, you know, that he was the type of player that would fit that role. I think – you know, Trey Hendrickson is the type of guy that can fit that role. But without him, without Carl being there, obviously not an option anymore. That is really something that they don't have a lot of. I don't think Marcus Davenport last year showed really good burst. As a matter of fact, at times, a limiting get off the line of scrimmage. Now, his athleticism and burst was all over the field. It just wasn't usually on the snap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was almost cautious off the ball. It'll be interesting to see with another year with him with his hand in the ground. You know, and remember, that was a guy that everyone knew and everyone accepted and admitted he needed to develop. He needed to kind of grow into that position. So you might see a guy like him make a big jump where he looks different off the line, where maybe you can pair him up with Cam Jordan and bring in one of these veterans to kind of collapse the backside of the line. So you can build pass rushes a lot of way. You don't need two traditional DNs and two traditional D tackles to make that work. It'll be interesting to see what they do with that group.
I want to ask you after our CBS and local news headlines, how would you block a Cam at the three and Marcus Davenport on the edge? As an offensive lineman, how would you handle that? This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Zach and Christian hanging out here on Sports Talk. Saints training camp getting underway on Friday. Breaking down the Saints roster, and Zach was talking about the defensive line in particular and the varying ways that you could get a pass rushing four on the defensive line, and he mentioned playing Cam Jordan at the three technique and having Marcus Davenport outside of him at defensive end. As an offensive lineman, what would be your approach to how to block that combination?
I think most of the time, good offensive lines are going to kind of almost prioritize certain players. And obviously on the Saints defensive line, Cam Jordan is your priority. And so I think the first thing you have to do with Cam at the three technique is to try and assist the guard. And you do that best by closing the rush lanes. And so I would let my guard know that he can aggressively set Cam because I'm going to set vertically or straight back. So there's going to be no separation. We're not going to move apart from each other. If you think of where the line starts, the tackle controls the width of the pocket. So how much space there is from the center of the field to where the outside of the line is. I want to restrict that. I want us to stay really tight. It lets your guard fight him in a phone booth, right? You want Cam to be stuck in this position where he doesn't have freedom to move around a lot laterally in it. It'll help your guard deal with him as opposed to setting away from your guard and now there's this big space for Cam to work with. So by setting vertically, you're helping the guard. You leave, we would call it drag arm. And so you kind of leave your inside hand there. You make it look unattractive to the three technique to continue rushing out there like he's running into a double team. And then your issue as a tackle is I've now given the defensive end a running start. So I am now going to have to absorb some power because that guy's going to start running. I'm going straight back. He at some point has to angle himself to the quarterback, and you're basically going to invite a big
collision.
Yeah.
And you got a set for that? I mean, you got obviously brace for that.
You prepare for that once it comes. And again, it's helpful for me. The longer I can stay in that drag arm and the longer that rush stays constricted, the less I have to worry about that guy looking like he's going to bull rush and then making an inside move, right? Because it's one thing to say, hey, I know for a fact this guy's going to run into me. You can set your feet. You can throw your hands in a certain way knowing I don't have to worry about anything else. And you can do that when it's all constricted. But as soon as I get separation, that gives the defensive end options there where, hey, I'm going to make this look like power and I'm going to slip inside. It's one of Cam Jordan's best moves is the ability to make it look like power and then kind of slip inside of a block. So that would be my answer to that.
You described Cam, I think before, as an unorthodoxed pass rusher.
Yes.
He just does things unconventionally.
Yeah. I don't think there's a lot of guys that have the skill set Cam has. I think Cam has the ability to beat you a lot of different ways. He has a ton of strength. He's got really good hands, but I think Cam just sets blocks up really well, and he does it in weird ways. I think his ability to make a bull rush look like a speed rush and vice versa makes it really hard on offensive linemen. And I think you see him a lot of times kind of get guys waiting for something, and that's when, you know, Cam takes advantage. Plus, he has a great motor. Which is also very unusual. I mean, his ability to go and go and go and go and go and go and go throughout an entire game is pretty impressive. You know, the one thing, too, and we didn't talk about it, that we probably should when talking about that, is there is a guy in the linebacker room that has rushed the passer.
I was going to ask you about Alex Anzalone.
College. Well, no, I'm not. Alex can do it, but I think Alex is rushing as a blitzer, right? But Caden Ellis has played some outside linebacker, some more rush end type stuff in college. You know, a 6'3", 240 guy out of Idaho, seventh round pick for the Saints this year, without having ever seen it, because I haven't. I have seen Porter Gustin rush in one-on-one drills a little bit. I don't know that I saw Caden that day, but he is a guy that has done that before. And if the Saints do get into camp and start saying, hey, we need some answers here in the rushdowns, he is a guy that might get that opportunity that's done that before to see if he can't stretch an offensive line out a little bit, giving them kind of that speed aspect on the outside if they have to really go small. That does give you an option there. And I think
if there's a guy that you're pulling for, if you spend any time with him, it's Caden Ellis, just because he's just got an unbelievably positive attitude about everything. He's playing the mic in OTAs in minicamp, and I went up to him. I said, are you comfortable there? He says, I'll play wherever they want. You know, it's just a typical, hey, I just want to make the team. I'll do whatever they ask, because I was talking to him about his versatility in college. He played safety at times. He played a little running back, a little defensive end, a little linebacker. Yeah. So that skill set, I think, is intriguing to them.
Yeah, I think you see it all over the roster of the Saints, really looking for guys that are versatile pieces that can fit into different roles. I think that's where the league is going, especially when you get into athleticism on defense, guys that can do a lot of different stuff, man, incredibly important. And, yeah, you look at Caden Ellis, it makes a lot of sense. Guy tested really kind of off the charts at his pro day. Kind of a bit of a specimen, you know, has played all over the place, like you said, played all over the board, and a guy that, you know, maybe they find a role one week that looks like this and the next week looks completely different. Same as a guy like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, you know, someone who has really played kind of all over the board. It gives them an extra piece to kind of to work into each game plan.
Kind of like a joker position on defense, where they use on offense.
Right.
All right, we'll examine the linebackers. By the way, a good matchup to watch, we know the starters, but just from an entertainment standpoint, it's going to be Ryan Ramczyk and Cam Jordan, you know, in team and also in one-on-one pass rushing drills. Those two guys, yeah, are going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, I think those guys make each other better. They just do. I mean, Ryan Ramczyk is a challenge for Cam and vice versa. They'll certainly push each other throughout the whole camp. And I really think Tron Armstead is the best possible thing for for Marcus. You know, I think that having a guy of that caliber be who you go against every single day is going to go a long way for his development.
If you can beat him, if he can beat Armstead 2 out of 10 reps, that's you're doing well.
Put it this way: if you win once a game at that position, you're an All-Pro.
That's true. Zach Street, Christian Garrick, going linebackers next here on WWL. Bringing down the Saints roster, Zach Streif, Christian Garrick, the linebacking groups set, A.J. Klein, Demario Davis, Alex Anzalone for the base, and of course, Klein will likely come off in the base, and Alex Anzalone and Demario Davis, who pleasantly surprised, I think, in coverage last year. I think everybody knew that he was going to be a good linebacker and run support, but he was really good as a pass defender.
Yeah, Demario, I mean, I don't know how much they felt he was a true three-down linebacker, and he was every bit of that for them last year. Demario was as good a free agent signing as there was in the NFL last season. He really was phenomenal. I don't think he got the credit that he deserved. I think, quite honestly, I don't think anybody was more impactful on the Saints defense last year than Demario Davis was. And I think you're right. I think your starters look pretty clear. I think A.J. Klein has been what they thought that he was when they signed him from Carolina. I thought AJ had his best season last year as a Saint and was able to stay healthier. And Alex Anzalone, I think this is a big year for Alex Anzalone, who I thought played well last year. But I think Alex Anzalone has a really high ceiling. I think his abilities, his physical traits with his size and, you know, I think Alex Anzalone, I think he's a guy kind of reverse of Demario, has always been talked about as a guy that can cover, has that ranginess, has that ability to run. But I think as his instincts and experience in the defense kind of grow, I think you could see Alex Anzalone being a really tremendous run defender this season. I think he has all the tools for it. And again, he's just a guy that you have to go into the season saying if he can stay healthy, because that is an area that he has struggled. Obviously, 1 year with the Saints with the shoulder injury, 2 years, yeah.
In college.
Yeah. In college, you know, twice missing season. So he is I think, kind of the X factor in this group. I think this group can go from a really good, solid linebacking core to an elite-level linebacking core if Alex Anzalone makes the step that he has the potential to, because I think Demario Davis last year was as good as anybody in football at that position.
Yeah, and behind those three guys, you got guys like Craig Robertson and Vince Beagle, who are primarily special teams. They're the special teams studs. You like the depth outside of those three?
You know, it's interesting because there's a lot of guys here that I don't think any of us have a real good feel for. There's a lot. It's basically young behind it. I think Craig Robertson is a guy that you just love having on your football team, not only as the special teams player that he is and the special teams captain, what he adds to your locker room. The character of Craig Robertson is very hard to value, but it's extremely valuable. He's
funny too.
He's a piece of work. He keeps the locker room, you know, in the kind of the right headspace, but he's also played very well defensively when called upon. And I think he's shown over and over again that he has the ability to play on the actual defensive side. You know, with linebackers, as soon as you're not a starter, it's all about special teams, and it is. But there's also a point where you get called on to actually play defense, and I think Craig Robertson's about as good in that role as anybody in the NFL is, as this guy that is a special teams ace that when he comes into games is really a very good, functional, you know, starting linebacker for you when he needs to be that. And so you feel really good about Craig there. But then there's a lot of youth. You know, you have Vince Beagle came in last year, really is a special teams guy. Porter Gustin is an undrafted guy out of Southern California. He's another guy that has played in an outside linebacker rush end kind of role. And so he's another guy that you could see on that defensive side of the ball or on the defensive line side of rushing the passer and those types of things. But he's all three of these rookie linebackers, Colton Jumper, who is still technically a rookie, was with the Saints mm-hmm. last year in camp. Caden Ellis and Porter Gustin are going to make or break their chances on this team in the special teams periods during practice. It's just the reality of that position. And, you know, how do I feel about the depth? Well, I feel great if a couple of those guys really thrive in that role. But I also think it's a position that NFL teams today feel very comfortable that they can, if need be, go and find a guy that can play in that role. I just think there's a lot more guys that can play special teams at a high level than can play defense at a high level. So you need one of those guys to start kind of being the defensive player that they need him to be and not just the special teams player.
One thing you left out on Alex Anzalone, the lettuce, man, the hair. He's got the best hair on the team. And
beautiful
hair. He could become a heartthrob if he starts becoming a Pro Bowler.
Well, he just got married.
So he could still be a heartthrob.
No more heartthrob for Alex. You got to put that silly hair away. No, I'm just kidding. No, Alex, yeah, he's got beautiful hair. He conditions it. He's the only guy I've ever seen that conditions his hair.
You don't use conditioner on your hair?
No, not at the facility. I don't.
At the facility? Is that a big no-no?
I don't know if it's a big no-no. I just don't know how many guys are walking in there with like three bottles.
Oh, right? Okay.
You grab a bottle of shampoo.
So he's got a lot of hair product.
Well, he has to, right?
Yeah.
I mean, his
hair
is.
A lot of hair.
Yeah, it's long. It's beautiful.
The golden locks of Alex Anzalone. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Zach and Christian here on Sports Talk. Welcome back. Breaking down the Saints roster. Now into the secondary. Quick, fast, in a hurry. We talked about the depth along the offensive line, Zach, but all of a sudden that DB group is really, really deep.
Yeah, I think they've done a really good job with the secondary. And when you think, if you're a Saints fan and you think, you know, into the last decade, what area has been the biggest problem, I think you point to the secondary.
Sure.
And now all of a sudden it's a strength of this team. And I think I really like the trade they made last year for Eli Apple. I know that there's a lot of people that are not high on Eli Apple. If you look at what he did quarters 2 through 4 last year, Eli Apple was phenomenal. He gave up so much in the first quarter of football games. So it was like,
why?
I have a theory on this. Now, I didn't play defensive back, but I really think Eli Apple essentially relies on his natural ability to cover people. I don't think he is a great technical cornerback, but I think he has great physical traits. And I think, you know, what was he, the 10th overall pick? So obviously that's true. He has physical talents. And I think for people who are going to try to cover someone without using keys and without using, you know, their techniques and their helps, they're just going to kind of line up and look and say, I'm just going to follow you around. It takes a little bit of time to get a feel for those different receivers. I think that there's a great coaching staff in that room. And really, when you look at the defense as a whole, not only is it Aaron Glenn and Peter Guento, who's been in the NFL for over 30 years, but it's also Dennis Allen, who was a defensive back. And so I think there's a lot of coaching there available to Eli. And I also think that he is finally in a room where he feels comfortable. He's with a lot of former teammates, Marshawn Lattimore, Von Bell. They all played together. And I think he's in a position now where he just feels more comfortable, more willing to kind of trust the system, trust the guys around him. You know, you talk a lot about offensive linemen having to trust each other. Defensive backs are the exact same. As a matter of fact, I've many times made the argument defensive backs and offensive linemen are the identical positions but opposites, right?
You're talking about mentally?
The whole thing, think about it, right? Offensive linemen spend half the game going backwards. Defensive backs spend half the game going backwards, right?
Yeah, or chasing.
Yeah, both positions are relied upon to communicate without being able to talk or hear each other. Both of them are 100% reliant on the guy next to them in order to successfully defend or really defend a play, right? They're the two closest groups in any locker room. The offensive line, extremely tight. Defensive backs, extremely tight. And I think that's why, because those groups, they need each other. A middle linebacker is really benefited by the nose tackle holding up the center. But he can shed the center. He can make the tackle. He doesn't – it's like everything's in front of him. He can see it. Defensive backs, offensive linemen have to rely on each other. And I think Eli Apple coming from the Giants, a place where his own teammates and guys in his defensive backfield were critical of him publicly, is not trusting Landon Collins to have his back.
Mm-hmm.
Right, wrong, or indifferent, I think that played a big role in Eli Apple not reaching his potential there. I think we saw lots of glimpses, not glimpses, large portions of the season where Eli Apple looked every bit the part of the 10th overall pick. And I think with another year in the system, with another year of coaching, with getting closer with his teammates, him being opposite of Marshon Lattimore is a very good pair of corners for the New Orleans Saints. And I think he's only going to get better here. It'll be interesting. I think they didn't give him his fifth-year option. I think it was a pure motivation tactic. I think if the Saints had it their way, Eli Apple would become that type of a player this year.
We'll break down safeties and more still on the secondary next hour. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.